Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
That's right. You are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We're gearing up for what is a huge, huge game this weekend. The Battle of the Defeated is what I've taken to calling it, as both 0-3 teams will enter the arena, in this instance, NRG Stadium, and one of them will have to win. To get ourselves a little bit more prepared for it as we move towards it, let's go behind enemy lines and talk to the host, one of the hosts of 3HL, an afternoon drive show in at 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. His name is Ron Slay. Ron, what's happening, man?
Man, what's good, Reggie John? What's happening with y'all, man? I had to dress up in my disguise, my Halloween disguise, if y'all was coming behind enemy lines, so they won't think, you know, for a second that I'm pulling for somebody to come out of this thing with a win. Like, this ain't right. Not in the AFC South. We got to get something together, man.
Man, who are you telling? We've been over here lamenting this team the way that it's gone, I'm sure, because we have the idea of the tone and tenor of the conversation here. I'm interested. What has the conversation sounded like on that side? Because obviously Tennessee, I mean, you had the number one pick for a reason last year, but I imagine that having the number one pick, you didn't expect it to start like this. What has it sounded like on that side?
It's disgruntled. The fan base, you heard boos, and not necessarily for the players right away in the last game, but you heard boos like for management and the coaching staff, which is, this is a fan base that rides. I will give them that, through the thick and thin, man. Me being one of those fans, you cheer them on, you take the good with the bad with the good, same thing. But coming into this season with the number one pick, that was your glimmer of hope. And everybody clinged to it. You thought if you put the pieces around it, people took the right steps, especially on the offensive line to protect them, that things would go in the right direction. One thing you wouldn't be struggling on is offense. So it's like, okay, you got a wide receiver one in Calvin Ridley. What are you going to get from him? Why is it taking so long for him to get going? Because Cam is delivering. He may miss on some, but he's giving you plenty of opportunities. The only bright spot so far are the rookies. You get DK, and you also get Elijah Manner. But those guys shouldn't be the ones that used to walk into every game saying, man, I hope they get going. You know, you should be able to depend on guys like Tony Pollard. But you look at the offensive line, J.C. Latham, who took a huge step in the spring and in the offseason to get ready for this season, has been out the last two games. This will be the third game. Then you look at Zeitler, 11-year vet, man, who's coming in and playing with his status and thinking, okay, we're going to get it together. He's out. So it's like now you're walking into the Houston series and you know what it means not only to this fan base and to you guys' fan base, but to ownership. Mm-hmm. Like, this is huge. So it's disgruntled. The phone lines have been hopping. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to see, man. I will say the fans are cheering for the coach to be fired. That's where we are.
You mentioned Cam and in passing there a little bit, but I'm wondering if you could dig in a little more on what you're seeing from him, any development even in these early weeks?
Yeah, I think what you see from Cam so far is him being decisive. Also, one thing is the leadership. And when I say leadership, you can always throw that out and say, oh, what is he doing? Is he breaking down the huddles? Is he leading the guys out? Is he the first one in? We heard all those stories, but it's the command that you see. When guys like veterans like Lockett or Calvin Ridley may run a wrong route, he treats them the exact same way he would Elijah Manner and get on them. Same thing he would do Big Chig, the tight end. The problem is, what's going on transferring the message from coach to player? Mm-hmm. And is it getting in, and is that getting translated to the players? Because at this point in the season and going into game four, you shouldn't have alignment problems. But as far as his growth, I thought he's taking it in stride. You never see him get too high. You never see him get too low. And you never see the facial expressions of frustration. It's more so of, how can I fix this? How can we get back to it? So that's the bright spot. And I thought coming into the draft before taking him, I wasn't a huge fan of him. But watching him and watching him operate daily, man, this young man has it.
Well,
now, will he have it with this team? That's the next question.
Well, and the next question for me ties in directly with that, because that's got to be a big factor in the play calling change. What played into that? And is it just a matter of taking less off of Callahan's plate, or do you think there's going to be a real change in actual play calling?
Yeah, I think the play calling will stay the same. It took so long to get this install. This started way before even spring, before guys coming in, free agents, so forth and so on, and then getting a training camp. So for them to change up the entire play call, I think that would be a problem. So the install will still remain the same. The delivery of it, I think, will be different. And also the way it's put in. Like, you could kind of, before Callahan got here, it was run, pass. Like, what pattern do you go with? Can you pick up on it, or is it something that you say, oh, wow, this is a change. We ain't seen this. Are you going to keep running screen, pass? Like, something has to change. Something has to be able to be read. Cam also has to have the opportunity to get to the line and change and make his own call. So I think that right there will be the biggest thing as far as the players go. But outside of Coach Callahan, I thought it was more taken off of his plate, less responsibility, where he can pay mind to everybody else out there, defense, special teams, offense as well, but it just wasn't working with him calling the plays and managing the team at the same time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
We're talking to Ron Slay of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville as we go behind enemy lines, get some insight on the Titans. And I mean, you talked about the offense. Look, it sounds like we're talking about Spider-Man memes with the way that it's going here to some degree, but I want to talk a little bit about the defense and what is the reaction and what the hell has been going on through L'Jarius Sneed's mind calling out Nico Collins that way. How have you guys been interpreting that, and where is that coming from?
I take it two ways, man. One, first and foremost, as a competitor and playing the game, I look at it as, okay, you're feeling good. So these knees and everything, quads and all these things have been hurting that made you sit out and, you know, be limited in practice. Oh, that's null and void now. You're ready to go. You're challenging wide receiver one and knocking on his door and then playing knick-knock and running and hiding. No, you got to stand right there. When Nico opened the door, you better be right there. Don't you put that on everybody else. So the second part is, boy, I sure hope everybody else is ready to go, because if you're not chasing him around the field, if he got to go against Roger McCreary or Baker Jr. or one of these guys that's been elevated from the practice squad since we lost Brownlee Jr. in a trade, they got to answer that door as well. So it's not just you. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. One thing about it, man, he is talking, but I always say, if you talking, you better have a whole bunch of dogs behind you, because if they not, it's going to be trouble.
I'm glad you brought up the Brownlee Jr. trade, because this is a team, and we're being assured by your head coach there that they're not selling. How much is that true? Is this a little bit of a selling, or what? Is there any other logic behind sending away a player of that caliber this early in the season?
Yeah, I believe Callahan was throwing the line and speaking for himself. He's not selling. Well, and I think this move came from upper management, whether it be Chad Brinker, whether it be Mike Borgonzi, whoever it was that pulled the trigger on this, they did this, and Callahan had to go out and speak for it, which I think was unfair in this situation. But it is what it is. They all in lockstep and moving along. I don't think he wants to sell anything. But One thing we knew when Borghazi came in, coming from Kansas City, they wanted to, you know, stockpile draft picks and try to build through the draft. So it's just weird that a guy that's been starting for 2 years, going this being the second year, that you were up and trade after game three. And when you're talking about establishing culture and identity of your team, what is it?
Yeah.
Outside of Big Jeff, we're knocking on the we trying to figure out who is it. Mm-hmm. Tavondre Sweat was a guy that was supposed to be there to take the load off of Big Jeff. He hasn't played. So I'm not sure, because we haven't heard from upper management. We've been ringing the phones and trying to get them to say something, and they haven't said anything. And it's their right not to, but it's also the right of fans, journalists, talk show hosts to question just what the hell are we doing too.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the defensive front. Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons is where you start. And the Texans, I mean, clearly they're weakest on offense, and they're weakest on offense on the offensive line. How do you see that playing out?
Well, I tell you what, man. I just had knee replacement surgery, and I'm 11 weeks removed. I may be able to get just a little bit more pressure than our edge guys have. if that says anything. We need somebody to wake up, man. You got guys, Arden Key is a veteran in this league, always is around the play, but never kind of necessarily making the play, if that makes sense. Femi is a guy that's young, that's coming along, second-round pick, and you expect him to come and be able to get pressure on the quarterback. We haven't seen that with him yet. So outside of Big Jeff, I'm not sure who gets home and who's worried about anybody else getting home if you're the opposition. So I think Denard Wilson is going to have to scheme up some things to kind of bring some corner blitzes, maybe some safety blitzes, get some linebackers like Cedric Gray going inside, hopefully try to get some to manufacture some quarterback pressure, because right now it's null and void, man, and we saw that in the last game against Daniel Jones. He just did what he wanted. They were there so close so many times, he extended it with his legs, and I wouldn't be surprised if C.J. Stroud was able to do the exact same thing.
Speaking of quarterbacks and extending with their legs, Cam Ward seems like he's handled himself well with moving, but what is the expectation, what are the conversations, and what are you maybe hoping to see from this team as they're facing off against a dynamic duo in Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter Sunday?
Yeah, that's a load right there, because you ain't even mentioned Barnett coming off the bench. Like, us being Tennessee, like, we know about him. So they got a load, man, and they come in waves, you know, defensive mentality. Looking along the offensive line, if I'm on the defense, we're looking for wherever the candy bar is. And right now, it's not on the left side when facing them, with Skoronski and Dan Moore, not necessarily. But that right side, man, if Zeitler is out and Latham is out, that's Halloween over there. They just giving out candy. And them boys, I promise they're going to feast. So whatever we can do, man, whether it's play action, Sam's done a terrific job with the play action, being able to sell that and people biting on it and getting time to get opportunities to get guys open. But the other part is guys got to catch the ball. Cam's done a good job of being able to extend plays and play off platform. But one thing about it, he is a rookie, and if you continue to do that, that can be troublesome. So how you hold up against this defensive front is beyond me right now, but we do have Bill Callahan, who is supposed to be the offensive line guru. So we'll see. We'll see what's put in place, man, for this onslaught that you guys are coming with.
All right, Ron, I got to ask you about this. We all know about Amy Adams Strunk and the Oilers thing and the bitterness between she and the Texans ownership, specifically Hannah McNair. When you guys have these fake reunions with Bruce Matthews and Mike Munchak and Warren Moon and Earl Kemp, fans know that's fake, right? Fans know that they just have to clap and act like they belong to them just to be nice. I mean, they know. They have to know that, right?
I tell you what, man. It's one thing, man, when you get to the family reunion, you got your uncles in that you done heard all the stories about, but you never hung with them. They never let you go over their house. That's kind of like what it is. You know, when you get those guys, you get those veteran guys in, you're like, oh, hell yeah, man. He played all the time. Oh, yeah, he got the big house down there in the gated community. Yeah, that's my uncle. So we claim him like that. You know what I'm saying? We know all we got is McNair and Eddie George and Keith Bullock and guys like that. But, listen, if they're going to keep popping up at the family reunion, we're going to keep accepting them. I promise.
We're talking to Ron Slay, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. Lopez, don't say a word. I'm looking at it. Don't say a word.
I won't say a word.
Ron, I need you to help me. I need you to help settle a debate here. We've been very fond of the college team in town, one of the college teams in Vanderbilt. Can you tell me, are y'all talking about Diego Pavia as Heisman candidate right now?
I tell you what, man, if he continues to win, walking into the SEC conference play like he is and leading these guys, you absolutely have to talk about him. Will he win? I'm not going to say he'll be up there. He might not even be the top three. But one thing you will not do is have the Heisman talk and not mention him if these guys continue to win. If they go down there a week from now and play Alabama after getting past this game and they play Alabama and they beat Alabama, oh, hey, man, I don't know what Nashville, Tennessee may do. I'm talking about the roof may, the Cumberland River may overflood, Nissan. They might not even have to worry about that down. We might have to just go straight into the new stadium and go on and play in there because it's going to be unbearable out here, man, with all these anchor downs that we'll have to deal with.
You are the man.
No, he said if. He said if. Y'all not having that conversation right now, are you?
Man.
That conversation is not happening right now. You said if.
I mean, it's sneaking up. It's sneaking
there
up.
We go.
We're whispering it. We ain't having it. We're whispering it.
Did they bolt down the uprights this time in the with the upgraded stadium? Because I know last time when they beat Alabama, they took them goalposts all through Nashville.
They sure did. Took them all down Broadway and everything. I think they still auctioning off pieces of that. So they do have a new stadium to go with it. But I will say, man, you got to tip your cap to Clark Lee. I grew up here in Nashville and understand what Vanderbilt was. They've always been a basketball school, if nothing else. Football here and there. But what he's done, man, being an alum of there – and being able, you talk about culture and infusing them with culture, that's what the portal does, and he's taking advantage of it. And, man, you got to tip your cap to Clark Lee and this guy.
Yes, that is Ron Slay, 104.5 Hell of a Zone guy. In Nashville. Ron.
And I'm a ball. I'm a ball. I'm a ball through and through. So let me just say that, too,
Objectivity, Ron. Objectivity.
I appreciate that. I'm looking forward. We'll talk to you again later. And if I end up in Nashville, I'd love to have a drink with you. But what I want you to know is I'm looking for your misery on Sunday. I just want you to know that, okay?
Hey, well, guess what, man? You ain't got to put no binoculars on or no glasses for that, man. This out here in the open. I'm pulling my Treylon Burks jersey out today. I'm looking for any kind of hope, man. I'm trying to bring Treylon Burks.
Goodness. I thought Treylon Burks was going to be nice for you, too.
Ron, my God.
Ron, man. We appreciate you, man. Have a good one.
No doubt, fellas.
There he is, Ron Slay, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. That was a treat, man. I love Ron. But they sound like they are doing down bad. Sometimes you just need to look at somebody else doing worse to make you feel just a little better, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. You want to feel skinny, hanging around with fat people.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's about that time where we hand things off to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, so I got the top 10 friendliest cities in America. Where do Houston rank? And plus, we talked about Zion yesterday, about him getting skinny. Somebody actually compared him to something that's a little bit uncomfortable. I want to see how y'all feel about it.
Oh, I can't wait to get this. The mixtape is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.